Welcome to On Tap with Corey and Ira, where they discuss Southern Minnesota breweries and beer. Here's your host, Corey Butler and Ira Carlson.
Hello and welcome to episode number 34 of On Tap with Corey and Ira, your bi-weekly exploration of Southern Minnesota breweries and beers. Although we do take a little departure this week, I'm Corey Butler.
And I'm Ira Carlson.
And again, we welcome you. Ira, what's our departure this week?
Oh, we're hitting one of our good friends there on the little back road to Dundas, as I like to say, the Loon Liquor Distillery. They're local, but getting quite big, as we'll talk to them about a little bit, but talking to Mark and Simeon over there. A lot of fun things going on, including some video arcade and everything else that you might want to talk about. So it's actually a really fun interview. It's really good to catch back up with those guys. Of course, we have a style of the week coming up with Andrew. He's still rocking out the styles. You'd think he'd run out of them, but he's got plenty to go. So,
plenty.
Yeah. And of course, a couple beers of the week and another little sample to talk about.
The back road to Dundas, also known as God's Highway. I feel like I've heard you call it that a time or two.
Well, it's Armstrong Road, but I'm a local boy. So the back road to Dundas, it's, you know, if you're a local, if you're a townie, you know that term. So,
yeah. And we had a great conversation with Loon Liquor Company, Mark and Simeon over there. A lot of big plans coming up from them. A little, maybe a teaser here. We'll say an expansion coming from them that's going to allow them to put out a lot more spirits, which is good for everybody because they make a damn fine product over there. So we had a fun conversation, got to actually visit them in the cocktail room, chat with them for a good hour or so. Most of that should make the cut here, and try some of their new recipes they have on hand, some of their new cocktails. As you like to call Simeon, the mad scientist. So we got to try some of the new things they have on there at the cocktail room. Got to see the new space. And like you said, they have some video games going, which is kind of a fun event now for this summer.
So they're having a little bit of fun. They're projecting movies, TVs, games across the way against McLean Trucking right across their little back alley space there. So you can go sit on the patio. And once the sun goes down, looks like they're going to be set up so you can play Mario Kart or a few other things. So fun talking to them and hearing about that. But of course, yes, the mad scientist at work is pretty fun to watch, and even just hearing him talk about the things that they want to do and what they're doing. And it's really a fun interview. Stick around for that.
It might be the best collaboration in the state. That being, yes, Loon Liquor and McLean by projecting the video games on the wall. So that's going to, we'll have to get over there some night after dark. I don't usually leave the house. It's after dark for my own reasons. I don't want to really go into them now. There might be a slight transformation into a character from folklore. No, it's tough for us to get out after dark. And if you're joining us for the first time, thanks for listening in. If you're listening to us on 95.1 FM, KYMN Radio, 1080 AM, feel free to catch up on prior shows we've had on our website at ontapnorfield.com. Clearly, if you're listening to us on there, you've seen our other shows. If you're listening to us on podcast, you're probably aware of our other shows, but it's a good way to catch up with previous guests we've had on the show, mostly breweries, but we've also had Loon Liquor on before. We've had wineries on. We've had cideries on. We're kind of hitting all the fermentation friends, as you like to put it. 34 episodes deep now, so we've got a good catalog of conversations. And boy, oh boy, pretty educational. I know we've learned a lot and haven't retained much because we're asking the same dumb questions every time. But it helps bring those people's stories out, and it's a fun little get. Speaking of podcast platforms, the usuals are on there. Apple, iTunes, Player FM, Google Play. But, and I haven't told you this, this is a big surprise. There's one big one that's an Apple exclusive podcast platform called Overcast. We are on there now, and it probably might have been for a while. I just didn't look till recently. And then a while ago, I had applied to and never got a confirmation to, but we are officially on iHeartRadio.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I was just thinking around looking for our podcast on places the other day, because a lot of those pull from iTunes and just organically get brought in. And iHeartRadio is one of those that you have to apply and submit to. And I swear I've never received a confirmation of any sort from them. And I Googled us, our show, and holy crap, there's iHeartRadio. So that just broadens our audience and gives us more opportunity to get in front of other ears and have people hear about all the great things here in Southern Minnesota and beyond. Because as we like to do, our main interviews, of course, focus on the lower third, lower half of the state. But we definitely invite people to send us samples from elsewhere. And one of the biggest supporters in that respect has been Bent Paddle up in Duluth, one of our favorite breweries for sure. And that's not just because they've sent us beer. They just put out great product. And, you know, this is one that's testing us a little bit. This is a new flavor to us, mostly because of the base flavor that they're, or I shouldn't say base, but the adjunct they're using with it, because neither of us are tea guys. But they sent us down a recent sample of their new Infusion Series beer. They used the Paddle Break Blonde, that's their Belgian-style blonde ale, as the base beer. but they infused it with green tea and lemon zest. And, you know, I'm not a big tea guy. Sometimes I'll drink hot tea, but green tea is not something I've ever really got into. It's a fun flavor. This is still one of your favorite adjectives. I feel the zest definitely on the throat. I like the flavor. I don't know how many of these I would have. It's definitely a great beer for this time of year. I'm guessing they did that on purpose, right? Why would you not put a beer out for a first time if it didn't make sense seasonally? Because it's hot, and this is a good quenching, refreshing beer.
Well, I kind of compare this to like an Arnie Palmer in the sense that, yeah, when I first had this, I'll backtrack there. When I first had it, it was definitely a little bit of a surprise. I wasn't quite expecting that. But I think the blonde and the tea go well together like a lemonade and an iced tea in an Arnie Palmer, where they both balance each other. I mean, you couldn't do this with a lager or an IPA or anything else, but this blonde really had is a nice base that merges well with the tea. And I don't even know if it's so much the green tea, just the tea in general. It's a very light, easy drinking beer. When I first started drinking, I wasn't sure, but it's catching up on me a little bit in the sense that I really do like this. And I can definitely see, again, it's an overused term, lawnmower beer, but they have pictures of golfing and frisbee golf on their can. You know, it is definitely designed to be a summer beer. And
it comes in at a sturdy 6% alcohol, actually.
Yeah, it's a pretty nice one, and it's in a pint can, too. So, you know, I'm guessing sold probably in a 4-pack or something like that, but easy enough to drink. And I'm really enjoying this one. This one caught me by surprise because I didn't like it when I first had it. I just had to let my palate adjust to it. Right. So, very, very good.
Yeah, they continue to keep swinging hard and hitting some good balls up there. So this is a good one. And apropos, maybe I shouldn't say swing hard, but well, yeah, swing hard because it's got golfing on the front. So I had baseball in my mind when I said that, but golfing's apropos for this. So once again, Ben Paddle, probably one of the premier breweries in the state and for good reason. And this is a beer I think most people wouldn't necessarily gravitate toward if they're in the current iteration of what a beer geek would be considered, you know. Big sweet stouts, big IPAs of the sort. So, well,
and this is the kind of beer that I'm glad they send, because this is the one that I would look at and go, oh, that's probably not for me.
It broadens your horizons.
Right. But at the same time, then they put it in front of me and I have it. I go, oh, I should have tried that. So glad they sent it. I will be recommending this one. I think this might be right up my wife's alley a little bit. She loves tea, you know, especially iced teas during the summer and stuff. So I think I want to get this and at least see if she wants to try it.
Yeah, and infusions and beers that mix things that people don't normally think or change the malt so the color doesn't match what your mind would think. It's always good to be challenged, both mentally and with your palates. And this is a good challenge. And again, I think they won out with it. I like it, and I definitely probably would pick up some for, you know, maybe lawn mowing or a little softball or maybe for the golf course. So thanks to those guys. And if you want to hear other beers that we've talked about on the show, you can go find our back catalog, like I mentioned, on the podcast platforms on our website, ontapnorfield.com. But if you want to see who's coming up on our show, we've got a busy summer already booking into the fall. I'm known a little bit as an organizer. People are just, what the hell? I don't want to book a show 5 months ahead of time. Well, I do because we've got things to do. We've got families. We've got other commitments. So we try to book out as far as we can. So I'm starting to populate our Facebook page a little bit more with some of those. I got a little behind on them, but we've got some cool things coming up. June 2nd, we're going to be over at Shakopee Brew Hall about 2:30 to 3:30. They've got a day-long event going on with a couple new beer releases. They're going to have a food truck on site and doing a couple of different things. I think it's just kind of a citywide event going on, but they're going to do their own special spin on stuff, specifically at Shakopee Brew Hall. So we'll be on site June 2nd over there recording. That show will air June 9th. So feel free to come out and join us there. Otherwise, look at our Facebook page, facebook.com/ontapnorfield, to see what other shows we have coming up for the remainder of June, July. I'm not sure I got to August yet, but lots of great guests coming up, including Spiral Brewing and others who we have not yet had on the show, so that's exciting.
Let's get to the show.
Let's get to the show. Cheers.
And now time for Beers of the Week, brought to us today by Firehouse Liquor of Dundas. Our first offering, I'm going to actually start this one out with a story. It's on the back of the can here, but after a few bowls of loudmouth soup, my esteemed uncle was off to the races. Tall tales of zany encounters were just the beginning as the libations loosened his lips. He mentioned a laboratory hidden beneath his manse where he experimented on strange brews filled with ginger and lime. His eyelids drooled, and it wasn't long before he told me everything. That is a story on the back of this can. It's coming out of Insight Brewing up in Minneapolis. It's their pairing to the Crazy Aunt, which I don't know if we've talked about on the show before, but a lot of people have heard about their gin and tonic one. This is Insight Brewery's Rowdy Uncle. It's their Moscow Mule style ale, and it's definitely one that catches you a little bit by surprise, but it actually pulls it off. It's very heavy in ginger. It's got a lot of lime. Really tasty, definitely light, easy to drink, but it definitely catches by surprise, and I really like this. It's an interesting style that I wouldn't normally expect, but summer coming around, really good one to drink, and does pair well with Crazy Aunt.
Yeah, I mean, neither of us are connoisseurs in the Moscow Mule world, but based on the ingredients I see here that are supposed to be in the Moscow Mule, that would be vodka, spicy ginger beer, and lime juice, and then garnished with a you know slice or wedge of lime. That concoction, the composition of those ingredients, I feel like I'm getting what I should be getting out of here. And I'm assuming because they actually packaged it and sent it out, it's probably pretty darn close to what it should be. It's a neat profile of flavor. It's not something I've had before, as I just mentioned. But I do like it. And that spice and that ginger really stands out to me, and I get a little bit of the lime on the back. So it is kind of a neat offering, and I know Crazy Aunt sold like nuts, and people loved it, and I'm guessing for good reason, and this probably will hit a similar vein, and it's something I would probably pick up again. I do like the flavor. I think everything comes through nicely. If anything, it's encouraged me to actually go order a Moscow Mule somewhere now, because I'm curious to compare the two and see how it actually turned out comparatively.
Maybe we should bring it up to Simeon. Or we should have when we talked to him, but
there we go.
Anyways, no, this comes in at a 6%. This is really tasty. It's a very interesting flavor profile, but works really well. I'm surprised and not surprised by it because I knew Crazy Aunt, hit the mark beyond belief because everyone has been talking about it and loving it. And I've been hearing about this Rowdy Uncle. So really glad Sean sent this over, and it's a really fun, different taste to a beer and a different taste. You talked about adjuncts and stuff, and this works out really kind of well and in a fun, different flavor that you wouldn't expect.
And on the way other end of the spectrum, we have the 2018 edition of the Hoptimum Triple IPA coming out of Sierra Nevada. So not only is this not local, which there's nothing wrong with that, it's also not a Rowdy Uncle type style beer. This is a triple IPA. This is meant to be a big, big boy.
This might make your uncle rowdy, though.
It's going to make me rowdy here shortly, that's for sure. It's it's distinguished yet devilishly hoppy. And they try to up themselves up every year, and this is a big beer. Comes at 9.6% alcohol. I was telling you beforehand, before we start recording, that I'm pretty sure I had this before, at least not this year, but I've had prior years. And I was trying to place it, and I said, oh, I know where I had this. It was at the Defeat of Jesse James Day beer tent. You're like, no way. I'm like, yeah, I'm pretty sure they had this on last year, and I probably had a few, and I vaguely remember having them because it's not a small guy.
Might have had a few rowdy uncles under that beer tent with this one. Keep going back to them. That's my last reference. I'll be done with that one.
Well, this coming year, maybe they'll have that on too, and it'll be a long weekend for both of us if we're going back and forth between these two beers. But it's a big triple IPA, burst of flavor. It's got a little bit of that oiliness that I like. We've talked about this recently on the show, how I like these bigger IPAs that kind of have that oil that sticks through the brew and kind of just coats your mouth. I'm a big fan of that. I know it's not for everybody, but it definitely is something I enjoy.
No, this is really tasty. It is a big triple IPA coming at 9.6. Definitely the biggest flavor we've been tasting today, but well worth it.
Go get it.
And if you want to go get it, you can find it conveniently located south on Highway 3 in Dundas. Now, just to give you guys a little heads up, we got a little road construction going on in like 8 different directions. So just head a little bit farther south when you take a right to go to Menards, going south on Highway 3. Take a left, come back around on Stafford Road there. You can get to them. They're open. Road construction's a little bit in the way right now, but they're definitely open and ready to go.
And whether you're coming from the north, south, or west, you know what to do. Look for the fire truck. All right, now we've got the pleasure to come live recording on site from Loon Liquor Company here in Northfield, Minnesota. Here with Simeon and Mark. How's it going, guys?
Going well. Good to see you.
Yeah, above average.
Thanks above average? Coming.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Above average. Just slightly, though, right?
Pretty far up there.
I was going to say, do you get pushback on that ever? People just accept and move on?
No, they love it because it's like, what can you say to someone that says, like, oh, you're doing above average? Like,
can't top
now. Yeah, it's like, I guess I'm doing fantastic now because you said that.
Yeah. When he says he's doing good, it's like, uh-oh.
Yeah. Or when I'm pissed off at someone, I'm like, yeah, it was all right. I'm all right.
Or for our Spanish-speaking listeners, you could say, like, así, así, right?
There we are. Yeah.
That's, like, my standard response in Spanish of what I remember from, you know, eighth grade. But well, we're happy to have you guys on the show. We're kind of going through a series of return returning guests, and we're excited to have you guys back on. It's been a while since you've been on. You guys have some exciting news. We don't want to really bury the lead. For anyone, we're recording this a little early, but for anyone who reads, you know, the trade publications for the industry and maybe other places at this point, you guys have some awesome news to get out to those happy listeners of ours.
Yeah, big news. Big news. We are quadrupling our production. Ooh. So, yeah, it should be good. We're going from, you know, about 1,000 bottles a month to over 4,000 bottles a month. You know, currently today, our business is like half in the cocktail room, half in off sale. We're in like 150 locations. And we're looking to, go probably like 80% off sale to 20%. You know, cocktail room, and just be, you know, out there as much as possible. You know, in liquor stores, we might have like one product, but not all the products. And so we're looking to more hit that a little bit harder. But we've really worked hard over the last 4 years to get into most of the spots. But yeah, now we're going to be getting some heavy duty equipment, and how that kind of a little bit.
Well, and you there's no ramping up, right? It's the next day change. You're gonna go from 1,000 bottles to $4,000 or 4,000 bottles next day, right? There's no effort in that, right?
No plan. I mean,
you're essentially
done
at this point. Yeah. And you'll be bottling tomorrow,
right? Yeah. That was about 18 months ago where this kind of started. Was, you know, obviously we were hitting maximum capacity, and really the only way to, you know, go bigger is to get bigger equipment, right?
And by maximum capacity, you mean that you guys were selling everything out?
Yeah, and we were.
Like, keep up with.
Yeah, we were becoming 1 month, 2 months, 3 months behind in production. So we had purchase orders for what we can't fill, you know, and like sleeping overnight in the distillery in a hammock, you know, wasn't even getting us totally that way, you know, and like ripping your hair out. So we knew we wanted to go forward with it. And Simeon's also just like, we need the new equipment now, right? Like, we need the new equipment now. And I'm like, I agree. And so last year, what really kind of came to shove was the Minnesota Department of Agriculture put out a grant applications. And if you could prove that your business is buying, you know, Minnesotan grain, and by purchasing equipment, you're going to buy more Minnesotan grain. And we definitely source, you know, organic wheat and barley,
right,
mostly from around the state. As much as possible. We're trying to work with farmers. But anyways, so we got that grant last year, Minnesota Department of Ag, about 25% of our expansion costs, you know, are going to get done. And so what we basically did was, you know, I was like, hey, Sim, you know, this is coming up. It's like, what equipment do we need? And Simeon's, you know, because I put it, it's kind of like, you know, my perspective, I kind of just put the numbers together, but Simeon actually tells us what we need to buy. Sure. Like, it's just like, I want this still. I want this brew house. I want, you know, these fermenters, you know, and then he kind of takes it.
Yeah, it's a fun project to work on. It's a little nerve wracking because you need to find that right balance. You know, if we had all the money in the world, there's a handmade still builder in Kentucky that we could drop an easy million on.
American made.
But then talking to Mark, it's like, well, what's the return on investment, Simeon? It's like, wow, come on, numbers.
Right. A little binary action there.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's finding that right balance so we don't sink ourselves, but we are able to produce enough to afford that new equipment. So it was a fun balance. And then thinking about how can we make our lives easier. So sort of back to your previous question, it's not four times the labor to create four times as many bottles. Hopefully it's the same or a little bit less labor as before, same amount of time. So we'll be putting in an auger system to move our grain. Previously, we've been doing it all by hand. We were really handmade, and we currently are now. But, you know, hauling 4,000 or 5,000 pounds of grain by hand, you're going to wear out pretty quickly.
Back and attest to that.
Yes, absolutely. We're almost at the limit here. So it's fun. The other piece of it is the packaging side. Huge step up there. We went from single bottle bottling system up to a 6-tap bottler, new corking system. So we can go from maybe what we're doing now, 100, 150 bottles an hour to, let's say we're fully staffed and cranking over 1,000 bottles an hour if we're well-tuned machine. we probably won't be there, but
that's Tuesday, right? You gotta work up to that.
Exactly.
That's day two.
That's day two. Yeah. But yeah, I think we'll probably double first couple of months, see where the market's at in Minnesota. It's still growing for craft spirits. And it's sort of hard to tell, okay, are Minnesotans saying, oh, I'm done with these big brands, just Minnesota products, like we've seen with beer. I don't know that we're quite there, but we're hopeful so that we'll have space to grow within this space that we're in for the next 2, 3, 4, 5 years until we ultimately decide, okay, we're building a separate facility tailored to all of our needs. So we've just tried to set ourselves up for the next 5 years, essentially, with this expansion.
Yeah, I want to talk a little bit more about that, but I'm curious about the grant through the Department of Agriculture. Mm-hmm. Was that a pretty competitive process? Walk me through that. Was it one grant they're handing out? Was it a series of grants, and you guys won or were selected to receive one of 10? How'd that work out?
They didn't actually call out the number of people that they gave it to, nor how many people applied. I'm pretty sure... Yeah, I can't even recall right off the top of my head exactly how many applicants to how many people are out there, but I think it's about a couple million dollars, maybe like $1 million that they give out, something like that.
So you got a small portion.
Yeah, we got like 50 grand.
But obviously you had to prove your merit to receive it.
Right, exactly.
Pretty involved application process.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, and there's also an ongoing reporting need as well. So not only do they check to see like, hey, you know, yes, you bought this equipment. Yes, here are the invoices. Yes, this is real. You just didn't take 50 grand and, you know, go to Cayman Islands or something, right? Yeah, exactly. So, but it's the ongoing. Oh, yeah.
There's still time.
No, I'm just kidding. Right? But like,
I don't know, those vessels look pretty hollow over there.
True. Yeah. So, with the grant though, the ongoing reporting needs is you got to show them, you know, over time too, that you're using the grant and you're leveraging Minnesota agriculture. And what's great about it is that we want to just move more towards in the next 5 year towards right direct relationship with the farmer, you know, and we've been really trying hard to do that. Simeon's tried 4 or 5, you know, organic farmers in Minnesota, but we're having problems with this thing or the other thing, you know, the sugar content isn't right. It might not be clean.
Is that the ultimate goal then, to be a true farm to, or grain to glass, I guess the way to put it. You guys are nearly
farm
there, right?
Flask,
but
some
farm. Oh, I like
it.
That.
Yeah,
okay, I've never heard
flask,
that before.
Some people call it. Yeah,
is that
definitely
your next T-shirt right there?
Maybe. I mean,
as soon
I think,
as you're 100% completed, right?
Yeah, I think we're more interested in kind of that that destination distillery. You know, right now where we're at in this Armstrong complex, it's fantastic. Love the area. Love the building. But we're gonna grow out of it at some point, and potentially looking at some kind of destination distillery. Might not do all the farming because that's like. No. A lot of farming, and but I think we're really curious on, you know, we use tons of different botanicals and agriculture from Minnesota that, you know, Simeon's been doing such great work with, that it's if we could produce some of that, you know, whether it be a huge garden of mint or whatever, you know, we kind of want to get there because, you know, we want to show people how much love we have for the ingredients, and what better way to show them than, hey, you like that rosemary in your drink? There's a rosemary bush right there, you know, like it's awesome, you know, so to bring that full in.
Last question on the state. What's your commitment to them for reporting? Do you have to keep in contact with them for 5 years, 10 years? Because I know those can be quite lengthy.
I need to double check on that, but I think it's at least for 3 years. Yeah.
And they want to make sure they're getting their money's worth out of you.
Absolutely.
It's a fair trade-off. I mean, that's state money, and they want to make sure investing wisely.
When you look at it, you know, we already are certified organic, and all the paperwork that goes into that, we actually, you know, have to put down the lot numbers and where each bottle was sourced. You got to trace it back to the actual farmland that it was there. So if we've got all that paperwork, this is just another person that needs to see it. So actually, if we do it right, the paperwork isn't going to be all too cumbersome.
Seamless.
Yeah. And in addition to that, you know, we can show it to them for however long we, you know, they want to see it, because we're just going to have all that data at their fingertips for sure.
So are you going to go like some restaurants or, you know, breweries, for example, Foragers down in Rochester, we're going to have a board up that says barley came from this farm, such and such came from another farm, you know, even down to some of your botanicals and such?
Absolutely. We were hoping to get to that point a little bit earlier, but just because of the gaps in supply on the grain side, we haven't been able to get there. But there is one, we're starting conversation with a farmer who has now tested for the last couple of years his product. We've tested it, so we're feeling pretty comfortable with that in the Faribault area. So really close, you know, about 10 miles away from us as it stands. But yeah, at that new destination spot, once we got that, we get there, hopefully even the pork, the beef is fed on our spent grains. So it goes full circle. Oh, you drank the booze, you know, or where the grain made the booze, was fed to the pig, you eat the pig, you know.
It's a beautiful cycle.
It is. Yeah. You have it all within you.
So obviously the need for expansion was there. The growth has been happening. You guys have been kind of stalled a little bit just because of, you know, space and ingredients and supplies. Was this grant kind of the catalyst to move forward with the expansion? Because the expansion, maybe you can share the number in case this is inaccurate what I'm looking at, but, you know, was that what really pushed you forward with going to the bigger equipment?
Yeah, I think it was a combination of the grant that allowed us to, you know, up our collateral for the bank, you know, on our own. I don't know if we'd be able to get that much money from the bank. You know, shout out to Community Resource Bank. We love them.
Holla.
But then also, that was backed by the Small Business Administration. Also, shout out to Rick Enderle of the Small Business Development Center out of Rochester. If anybody's interested, even in the brewing world or not, he has gotten tens of millions, if not hundreds of millions of dollars for small business in Minnesota. And he's one of the best resources out there. And
your
by
boy,
the way,
Ricky E.
What's that?
Your boy, Ricky E.
Yeah, that's right. And by the way, all of our tax dollars are paying for him, so he's free.
Government work,
hey, right? But he's great. Rick Enderle out of Rochester, Rochester Small Business Development Center. But yeah, we leveraged that money, and with the purchase orders that we had that we could show to the bank that basically this is money in our pocket if we would have had larger equipment. And then basically just, you know, Simeon put together all the equipment plans, and then we put together our cash flow with working capital, put it all together, and it was just like, this makes a lot of financial sense. You know, looking at it, like, we are going to pay for this. If we wanted to just pay it all back, you know, we might be out of debt, you know, and within 5 years. Or what we might do is we might just take all that money that we could pay down the debt and put it in barrels. And that's more what we're talking about.
The long game.
The great long capacity. Game. Yeah.
Taking spread, yeah.
Yeah, not pulling that whiskey early. That would be the last thing. The only way that would happen is if Simeon went senile at age 32.
It could, you know, tasting all this spirit every day. But another reason I think that we were sort of pushed in this expansion direction was when we started out, we sort of Mod Podged together all of our equipment, you know. So we had a custom false bottom made for a bulk wine tank. You know, I mean, our mash tun is not made for mashing. So I can tell you when you put, you know, several thousand pounds of grain on top of a thin slatted piece of metal, it starts to crumple. So it's been doing that for a couple of years now, and we pound it out. We have become, like, I don't know, civilian engineers here. Not civil engineers. Like civilian.
Civilian. Learn by doing, right?
Exactly. In the still, the patch. You know, I mean, we've really had to be hands-on with this equipment.
Do you YouTube it?
Your face doesn't even have what we're doing. You know?
See, you should be helping everybody else. You should be making the videos now.
It's true. So
paid forward.
Yeah. How much of our, once again, hair has been pulled out, you know, trying to put this equipment back together or creating it. I mean, it creates a totally unique product. It's unlike anything else. The sweat, blood, and tears, maybe not in the product, but on the outside of the product, is definitely there. So it will be nice to hopefully create a product that is as consistent and maybe of a higher consistency than we're making now, with a lot less effort.
Ease the process. Yep. Increase capacity. Sorry, Mark, yep. Go ahead.
Oh, no, you're golden. Yeah, I was just going to add on to Simeon's point with one thing that we thought about that when we originally created the business plan, right? So rewind 5 years, right? We're a couple of guys with a small still running water, right, from it at home because we didn't have our license yet, right? But running it and saying, you know, how much can we actually produce out of this thing, you know, when we are doing a larger system, right? So Simeon's looking at what are, you know, you're talking in the equipment manufacturers and all that. How much booze can we get out of this thing, right? Out of this still. And they were quoting us one thing and going through the actual process and trying different products, we realized that the majority of what we're doing is distilled three times through a six plate column still. And at the beginning, we were only looking at, you know, a 4-inch column instead of a 6-inch column. And we were only talking about putting it through once or twice, right? And so those projections of what we originally thought, we actually found out that through the process, you know, we're just like, hey, if it's going to take longer, just do it, right? But from what we projected to what we actually got into, it was much less, you know, like to the tune of like 50% less capacity than what we originally thought, because we wanted to take our time with the product. And so, you know, either you could do one of two things, try to figure out a different product to create, or now that you know that you created it well, taking your time with it and then
business
just waiting
plan changed
for the biggest
a little
stuff.
Bit.
It did. That was a pivot. It was a good pivot, but it was, we know now what we should be doing with the still, I mean, you know, we're actually 4 years experienced in this industry.
So. Well, I will say you've had a couple of rather nice awards to back up your decision to take your time on it. So I think it was the right decision.
Definitely went quality over quantity on that. Yeah, we were just out in Portland earlier this spring where we received at the American Distilling Institute conference, bronze medal for the coffee liqueur, which was the product that sort
delicious.
Of spurred on this whole project on our end. And we received a silver medal for the same product internationally, San Francisco International Spirits Competition this last year. So it's a good feeling to be recognized, yeah, especially as a really small distillery as compared to some others that haven't won these awards. Yeah, I mean, we're with our gin beating out the international gin producers that you'll see on every shelf in the state. You know, we took a silver, they took a bronze. So, I mean, it's good to see, you know, and hopefully we start taking those double golds here, maybe next year.
Be a little ambitious, yeah. Well, you guys are at currently, what, 5-barrel brewing system and 100-gallon still, is that correct?
That's right. Yeah, we'll be increasing to a 20-barrel system with a 10-barrel still, and we'll be putting in 4 30-gallon fermenters or 30-barrel fermenters, stainless conical. Pretty much just trying to optimize every square inch vertically and horizontally in our production area.
Yeah, it's getting really touchy. You know, it's like, oh, you can do 4,000 bottles a month in 800 square feet. We had some people that are starting up distilleries, and we, you know, with the distilling community, you know, that we've gotten a few distillers come down and, you know, just showed them the space and everything, and they're just like, you're doing all that in that area? You know, they're just like freaking out. They're like, I thought we need 30,000 square feet for that. It's like, we're finally getting above 800 square feet in our production area. You know, we chopped our production space in half when we added the cocktail room. Now we just took on another 1,000 square feet.
Yeah, I was going to mention that too, because I want to talk about the provide a little context for folks. With your equipment alone, you say you're one of the smaller ones. I mean, in the state, I'm guessing, because there's fewer, maybe it's a higher percentage. But like nationally, I mean, you got to be like, what, bottom 10, 5% in terms of size?
Square footage, absolutely. Yeah. Size of still... where, yeah, maybe 50, middle of the pack with
new
equipment.
Yeah. Right
now,
but with the current slash old.
Very small.
Yeah.
I mean, there are garage distillers with a larger still than us.
Okay.
Absolutely. Yeah, there have been plenty of moonshiners in southern Minnesota with much bigger setups than ours.
Yeah.
For sure.
Well, just to reemphasize that handcrafted approach and really making good use of the space you have. And now, you, like you just mentioned, Mark, you guys are expanding a little bit. You've got a little extra space.
Yeah.
How many was it? Another additional 1,000 square feet? Is
that
right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so we're going from about 800 square feet of production area to 1,800 square feet of production area. What that's mostly going to be used for is bottling and storage. So it's just really nice bottling line and a place to put all of our empty bottles and full bottles, you know, as we kind of shift over inventory, because there's a lot of inventory management going on sure. around here.
So is that adjacent space or somewhere else in this building?
Yeah, it's basically attached. You know, it's like the room next door, pretty much just to our south here. And so now we kind of like take over our loading dock area now, which feels really good. But yeah, it was just a smaller space there. And, you know, we redid the floors, put some new paint on. We gave it some TLC, and now it's ready to pump out a lot of liquor.
Now, one of the last times we talked, I mean, your main things is the liqueurs, the whiskey, gin, and vodka. There had been some discussion about expanding a little bit. Is this additionally driving that, or is that one of the components of this expansion?
Yeah, I think what's really fun about what we're doing is that a lot of people, you know, look at the strategy of just doing a couple of products, you know, and getting them out as far into the industry as possible, right? But I think a little bit of our DNA, and Simeon talked about this at length, is experimentation, doing something different, bringing more flavors out there, and really, at the end of the day, honestly, showing Simeon's breadth of talent across so many different types of products that, as a portfolio of what we have, is pretty great when, you know, I have to say that, right? But I really, truly believe that it's like, you know, some of these other distilleries have 26, 28 products with not a lot of quality, sure. You know, I mean, hit or miss. You know, within it. But, yeah, we're definitely looking at another liqueur. Maybe a ginger?
No. Yeah. So working on a ginger liqueur right now, sort of a year-round product, you know, during the summer. Put it into, you know, maybe a store-bought ginger ale, make a mule with it, or just soda water. Really light, nice while you're out on the water. In the winter, you put it into your cider. I mean, I think it's going to, you know, translate into a really nice year-round product. I think the other piece with this is that since the beginning, we've been making this light whiskey moonshine, which is funky and fun, and it has this really great following. But I'd really love to show the, you know, Scotch bourbon connoisseurs out there that we can make a fully mature whiskey that stands up to critique. And we have a barrel that's been laid down for almost 4 years now, and it's beautiful and amazing, but it's one barrel that we've made in the last 4 years because we've been
2 months behind in production.
2 months behind. So there's no additional, as they say, juice to put into those barrels. This will allow us to lay it down, hopefully in 4 or 5 years. We have some really beautiful brown spirits that that support what we've been doing on the light and clear spirit side. But yeah, that experimentation is where this all started, and it will be great to have the additional spirit to let's take violets from outside or make a walnut liqueur when it's in season, as opposed to, oh shoot, every single drop has to go into a bottle or we're going to burn a liquor store, you know.
And we'll see how things are also turning out on our new mystery spirit. But, yeah, it'll be a whole new, you know, it'll be a whole new classification of liquor beyond liqueurs now. We don't want to give that one away quite yet because we need to make sure that it's going to be fire, you know, that it's going to work. Not only, you know, it's like, oh, can they make it or not? It's like, well, did the equipment they have and the processes they have and everything, is it there yet?
Is it right? Legal for consumption?
Exactly, yeah. Right? Just, you know, stay tuned on our Facebook, Instagram, all that for that.
Well, as you guys look to expand your portfolio, I think it's important to note that you guys also have stuff that you create that doesn't leave the cocktail room. Some stuff that actually sets you apart from maybe other cocktail rooms, definitely in Minnesota, if not throughout the region and country. You want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, I think that that handmade ethic plays into our cocktail room, where we're blending the spirits and liqueurs that we make into these handmade cocktails. So we're open Thursday, Friday, and Saturday evenings, and we're serving cocktails with ingredients in addition to our spirits that we're making here in-house. So we make our own bitters, we make our own Amaros on our new spring cocktail menu. We juice all of our juices every day. We're using fresh herbs and fruits. And I think that sets us apart from the other distilleries, let alone other cocktail establishments in the state, where you might go out and buy some of your juices or your syrups. Everything is made here. It's juiced here. It's a labor of love. Some days I curse the fact that we do it. It's the minority of days. And then I try one of our cocktails. I say, okay, it's worth it. And the praise that we've been receiving, even locally, is really wild.
How I think it matters embraced. To patrons know that you have that dedication to the craft. That's not, well, we make the spirits, but then we bring in this other stuff. Not there's anything wrong with that, but it shows that extra dedication that you want to make sure it's your stamp of your recipe, your product.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I can see one of our favorite guests we've had on, or at least was mine, was Joe Pond of Ovaldi Brewing out of Winona, and he's got the he's brews on his farm. There's no tasting room, and he does everything. He's trying to do everything off of his farm, and so he's out finding a certain flower in the ditches during a certain time of the year to get that one
flower.
Extra, yeah, and you know all the different things and doing that, and so. I always think of the two of you kind of similar in that sense that nobody else in the state seems to be even remotely thinking about it in that sense. And so I always refer to you as a mad scientist, but I think it's well worth the thing for all the creativity you put into your drinks.
Yeah, I mean, some days I look in the mirror and it's like, wow, I'm the appearance is now taking on the title, right?
But you have a lab coat?
Don't we have overalls, though?
Hard overalls.
Yeah, it's a country man scientist. But yeah,
it's southern Minnesota.
Southern, yeah.
And you can kind of see a little bit what we're working with when you're down in the cocktail room. You can see our apothecary of botanicals. You know, we present that pretty prominently. That you
I
can
love
see.
The apothecary. Sorry, that's not a word that's used enough anymore.
Right, right. Yeah.
So kudos for that.
Yeah, I mean, there's like 50 different botanicals at least. You know, I just come in one day and Simeon's just like. You know, breaking out something's like, what is this black cardamom? Smell this. Like, oh, yes, you know.
What is nice to be able to, somebody, you know, let's say a guest comes in and doesn't know what a certain flavor is that we have listed. Okay, smell this jar. Say, oh, that reminds me of my grandma. Is that what that is? My grandma cooked with that, you know, in all of her Scandinavian cooking. Mm. Like, oh, yeah, that's that green cardamom. You know, it has some of this anise. Oh, my gosh, I didn't even know what that smelled like. So it's a fun storytelling element to what we're doing here as well.
For the stuff you guys grow on site, I mean, how far does that get you? I mean, I have no idea. What, you know, like you bought some mint today. Like, how, what does that get you? Like, how far does that get spread throughout either as a garnish or part of the
Like through the weekend
process?
Yeah, yeah. Just mostly right now for just garnishes. Yeah. A little bit in drinks, too. Yeah, the mint definitely muddled into some great drinks.
Like anything you've been growing on site here. I mean, you just mentioned the cardamom. Like,
yeah.
Where does that get you? Like,
so the mint we have growing on the patio, that'll last most of the summer, but hopefully as our new equipment comes in, we'll get more clients in here. And I know last year we brought it in the fall and we had a little extra that sort of extended the season for us into October, November, but then it's done. You know, I mean, there's that ephemeral sense of it,
yeah,
too,
yeah.
You know.
Mm-hmm. Nothing's forever.
Nothing's forever, which makes it better.
But Ira was mentioning the recipes and kind of the mad scientists, the creativity around the concoctions. We've got, I think, the new spring-summer one I'm sipping on here. It includes some of the house-made stuff that is made here in-house, as noted by the name house-made. You want to just walk us through that one, the Fool's Paradise, and maybe another one you want to highlight for folks want to come in and try something new?
So the
or Fool's, maybe an old favorite, whatever.
Yeah, you're. I mean, this is a new favorite and something that I've been looking forward to putting on the menu for some time. You know, so this Amaro that's the base of this tall, fizzy drink. Really nice to sit on the patio. Citrus forward, but Amaros are these Italian liqueurs that have a bitter note to them, so it helps with digestion. It also breaks the coin sweetness of a lot of cocktails, so it's a nice small addition to a drink like this. It's soda water, the Amaro, our vodka, and some citrus juices that it makes it palatable. It makes your mouth water. It's really pretty. So in addition to that, we added our Indigo Dream, which is using our blueberry liqueur and then fresh juiced blackberries. We just have mixed berries on the menu right now because I'd like to start using the raspberries when they come in, different seasonal fruits as we can to add to that.
But Lawrence's?
Lawrence's. We used their strawberries last late summer in our Mungo Jerry cocktail. So we really try as hard as we can to use the local produce. In our Bloody Mary, we'll start introducing that, the fresh blood, as we start getting, you know, the herbs in the spring, tomatoes late summer.
Police Chief Rhubarb.
Exactly. Oh, my gosh. And his black raspberries. Yeah, so it's, you know, when you have local officials supplying you with your produce.
Those raspberries street legal?
No comment.
Awesome. Now, speaking of locals and stuff, I managed to run into Nate with Keepsake the other day. We can... If you don't want to discuss this, we can take it out. But I believe that there's a possible collaboration coming up between you guys. He was telling me a little bit about it yesterday.
There is. Well, we in the past have done the cider that he rests on, our whiskey staves.
Woodskeep Wood Series.
Is it the Woodskeep? I'm at a blank on this.
But you know, Nate listens to the show, so you better get it right.
Oh, jeez.
Hi, Nate.
He does come in and buy some of our moonshine from time to time and bring it to different events, so we love Nate.
Mark's frantically Googling over there.
Oh, that's all right.
We're not going to edit this out.
It was beautiful. Last year's version of this, definitely, I would say it's probably my favorite cider of all time, unbiasedly, although, you know.
The stuff's so good. I mean, Ira and I had Nate on a few episodes ago, and it was just, I mean, I had sampled some stuff and bought a couple of bottles, but it had been a while, I think, and the stuff just blew me away. Just,
well, not only blew me away, but also, you know, Nate, when he's not, you know, on the air, is kind of a laid-back, kind of quiet guy, and also we got him going, and he really opened my eyes to a lot of the process and everything else, and, you know, he definitely is really into it. And
what's the passion? You guys can't relate, can you?
That we not at all. No idea. You know, when we're not mic'd up, we're really fighty, but then when we're on,
Well, I saw Mark hiding under the patio the other earlier, so.
True. Oh, Nate kills it.
Foraging for mint, right?
Right? Yeah, the Keepsake Wood and Spirit series.
There you go.
Yep. But yeah, he kills it. What I love about Nate, is all that passion comes into it. And you can tell, too, that he doesn't have a super sweet palate like a lot of ciders on the market. So they're either super crisp or, they've got just really beautiful natural flavors in them that isn't like, oh, I'm drinking. Basically, it tastes like a juice box, you know? This is real fresh cider.
It
you can tell, you grew it. Yeah.
I think that, you know, sort of French style, all natural fermented style cider plays really well with our white oak staves out of our whiskey, which has a little bit of that terroir and funk in our whiskey, and it plays into his cider really well. And I think that's why it came out so well, you know. Next week, we'll be pulling the staves off of our whiskey. We did our largest batch ever of this whiskey, and that day, I'm going to give Nate a call and say, come get them while they're wet. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Once they start drying out, they lose some of that that beautiful vanilla and caramel notes from the whiskey. So
just dry out a little bit? It's kind
they
of
dry
evaporates?
Out, yeah. And then what can happen for him, this is an issue, right, when it's covered in high-proof spirit. Well, nothing's living on there. Right? None of that yeast or bacteria can contaminate his cider. But once they dry out, you get the wild yeasts in there, which he likes. But are they getting some of our yeast? Is that going to throw off his batch? But if they're still wet, I think it makes it a lot easier for him to make that addition into his cider without compromising.
You want to drop the cocktail room hours on people again? Because I just want to emphasize. I mean, earlier in this interview, you said, hey, we're about 50-50 right now. As you guys ramp up production, you'll go away from that a little bit, where at least on the financial side. But you guys will still be here, obviously, serving your great cocktails. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, what are the hours?
Yeah, Thursdays, Fridays, 4 p.m. to midnight. Saturdays, 2 p.m. to midnight. Stay tuned on Facebook, Instagram, all of the above. We'll be at... we're looking to open up on Sundays, probably, just to, you know, for a few hours, just kind of do some nice Sunday brunch-ish kind of cocktails, cocktail brunch kind of thing. But, you know, for all the people that haven't been, you know, where else can you go that they're making everything from scratch, tonic water, ginger ale, bitters. We just redid our seating a lot. We got a lot more coming in. Definitely shout out to Lars and Lars Woodworks.
Yeah.
Yep. And... soon to be here, starting tonight, is a 50-foot screen that you can play Mario Kart on. It's a projection screen on the side of McLean, but I'm pretty sure there isn't a brewery or distillery or cidery or winery or even a bar or restaurant that I know of that you can go and play a 50-foot screen of some classic Nintendo 64 games, Super Smash Brothers, GoldenEye, Cruisin' USA. Just throwing that out there.
Well, hey, let's do it again.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you so much.
Thanks a lot.
Hey, it's Andrew Burns, and for this style of the week, we're going to talk about an American beer, a cream ale. Now, there's not a lot of people know exactly the origin of the name cream ale, because there's actually no cream in it. It actually has to do with the creamy texture and color of the beer. Really, what a cream ale is it is a light American beer that uses corn or rice in addition to the malt. Corn or rice is often used in American light lagers, and all a cream ale is that same type of recipe but brewed with an ale yeast. So regular listeners will know that ales are more flavorful because they've got a little bit more of expressive yeast and they ferment at a little bit of a warmer temperature. So a cream ale is one of those hybrid beers. It's almost like a lager, almost like an American light beer, but because it's an ale, it's a little bit more flavorful and a little bit more exciting for craft beer drinkers.
That's going to put a wrap on this show. Thanks to Mark and Simeon for hosting us over at Loon Liquor Company. We'll be back soon. You know, we stop in there occasionally. So it was a great conversation. Had to have a couple good cocktails there on site and got to see the new space. So really excited for what they've got coming up. I think they're going to do a lot of good things. And I'm excited for some of the projects they're kind of building on right now with the barrel program and doing some of the dark whiskey and just to see what comes out of Simeon's mind when it comes to recipes. I know you're sitting over there with bated breath about what you could drink in the future.
Well, I don't know about that, but no, he's really so creative with different drinks and different flavors and everything else. And the fact that he is bound and determined to bring that flavor to you himself, not using anything else, not using store-bought. I'm really excited with the idea that they are going to possibly have a farm somewhere in the future or a space that can really give them a chance to really show all the extra things they're doing to it. You know, the distilling to some places or even the beer to certain places is the premier thing. And I think with Loon, they're adding extra flavor, extra things from everything around it. It's not just the product that they're distilling, which is really amazing and good. But when they're serving it, they want to make sure it's the best way they could serve it. And they really think about that whole process. So
homegrown, handmade.
Right. When he talks about that tap room, he absolutely loves that room, loves talking about the drinks and everything else. So look forward to seeing what he can do in the future.
And I think the most encouraging part is clearly those two guys are smart and they know what they're doing. And they're looking at the long game here. You know, I think there's concern with any booming industry, whether it be spirits or beer or otherwise, that people are getting in just for a quick buck. And clearly that's not been the case with what they're doing because they put in the long hours. They're taking the slow, right approach to build the brand, to build quality product, to put that quality product out there and look ahead to say, okay, once we hit this and then we can do this, not only because it'll lead to a longer life in business, but because it's the right thing to do for the product and for themselves. So I applaud them for that effort and for doing it what I would consider the right way instead of just trying to push stuff out, sell it, because they're selling stuff, no doubt about that.
Oh, very much
so. But that's because it's good stuff, and they're doing it the right way. So hats off to those guys. Obviously, great supporters of the show. We love them. We support them as much as we can. And look forward to see what comes from them in the future. And I'm sure we'll have them on here again not too long out. As always, you can find us online at social media places like Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Look for OnTap Norfield on Facebook and Twitter, OnTap with Corey and Ira on Instagram, where we post pictures and updates and upcoming shows and things of that nature. And I think we're going to try to, as often as we can, do some kind of fun videos about upcoming segments, mostly around beer samples that are sent to us. And one day, if the law allows, maybe we'll get some cocktail samples sent to us. That'd be kind of cool. Hey, here's the Moscow Mule we were talking about in today's show via mail. That would be kind of a cool thing to do. On Facebook, you can always find our upcoming guests to see who's coming up, so you can make sure you bookmark that, as if you're not bookmarking every episode anyway and having it automatically download on your podcast of choice. And speaking of those podcasts of choice, we're on iTunes, Player FM, Google Play, Stitcher, and as we discussed at the top of the show, surprise to Ira, we're on Overcast, which is a pretty big Apple platform, and a big one, I guess, because they're kind of a multi-global...
You only hear about them on every radio station.
They own everything, right? Although I think they just filed Chapter 7 bankruptcy or something like that. So hopefully they stick around, because we just got on there. It's iHeartRadio. They're kind of a big deal. So it's kind of cool to be on there and kind of expand our exposure to new audiences, give people an opportunity to see what good stuff's happening here in southern Minnesota and beyond throughout the state. Because we like to highlight other places when they're sending us some beer and we can spread the word, especially greater Minnesota. We love spreading the word about greater Minnesota. We're kind of salt of the earth kind of guys. And not that we don't love the cities, but we like those small towns and kind of spreading the word about the places that don't get as much attention. Our next show is going to be back on June 9th. That's going to be our live event from the week prior. We're going to be hanging out at Shakopee Brew Hall. That's going to be June 2nd. They've got an all-day thing going with beer releases and food trucks and kind of like a city festival. We will be there roughly between, I don't know, 2 and 3, 2:30, 3:30, I think is what we're shooting for. So we'll be hanging out for at least an hour, I'm sure a little bit longer than that.
Come join us.
Yeah, so please join us. That's, again, 2:30 to 3:30. Those are probably the concrete hours where we'll be having a conversation with the guys from Shakopee Brew Hall. So we'll be recording on site. I'm sure we'll be hanging out, having a beer or two, and maybe I think Mr. Pig Stuff is the food truck, so we'll be having, I'm sure, some pork at some point as well. So looking forward to that, because I love me some pork. So that's June 2nd. Stop on down, hang out with us next week here on KYMN Radio 95 The One. You will be listening to Norfield Outdoors. They're gonna be here at 11 a.m on Saturday, and we'll be back on June 9th at 11 a.m. We'll see you then. Cheers.
Cheers.